My, this first time in a long time, I did get to speak Wednesday night, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I told Mark when he asked me if I wanted to speak, I told him that I was trying to do a study of the Gospel of John just for me, and I'll be glad to present it up here as the Lord gives the opportunity. But I'm also doing the journal on Isaiah 53. And that's, if you're not reading it, I'm telling you, that has got some meat in it. It's very good, and it's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Isaiah was led by the Holy Spirit to write those scriptures. They're excellent. Now, I want to say one thing about the catechism, kids. I love it. Amen. Would to God I had been instructed like that as a boy. I grew up not knowing anything. I remember once it was in a Methodist Episcopalian church. And he called on me at a group of children to pray. And I sat there dumbfounded. I didn't say anything. And after a while, he finally continued. But I didn't know the Lord until my wife was saved and brought me to church, and God saved me too, and I attribute it all to my wife. Excuse me for my emotions. I feel like I'm only half here. I'll be frank with you. I buried the other half in Montevallos in the city cemetery. If you turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, I want to read those first 11 verses for you. Now, to a few of you, I covered those first 5 verses on that Wednesday night. We're just going to briefly review them, but this is the Word of God. And we can't get too much of it. John the evangelist writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name." Now, John starts off his gospel with the Word. The Greek on that, as you probably all know, is holo-gos. That's a word that we're told by, I think it's Robertson, he said that means coming together side by side and so forth. But logos was translated here word, but it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, period, exclamation point. It doesn't mean anything else. It means the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, we saw that he was in the beginning with God. The Lord Jesus Christ existed with the Father before the creation. John is telling us this very fundamental truth, that Jesus Christ is God the Son. He's Jehovah the Son. Make no mistake, he is God Almighty, but he is subservient to his Father. He loves his Father, and he does what his Father tells him to do. So before his actual incarnation, Jesus Christ was with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ created everything. You go back to Genesis, and God said, "Let there be light," and light was. It's that simple. Let there be light, and light was. He created what we have right here now: time, space, and the air which we breathe. He created light, and he created that light before there was a sun in the sky or a moon at night and stars. There was light. Christ is light. In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is centered in Christ, is communicated by him, and derived from him. All this light we see, as I said, came from Christ. Any spiritual, supernatural light, any knowing of joy and gladness from the Word of God and from being with Christ in prayer comes from him, being with him. And this life all comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 5 it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. Light shines in the work of creation and providence. Those that cannot see do not comprehend it and are blind, and their eyes need to be open. Let me tell you my own personal experience. The doctor said, "You've got cataracts on your eyes." He said, "You need to have them removed so you can see." Well, I had them removed. And you want to know what darkness is? You have the lens removed from your eye and you see nothing. That's darkness. And if anyone here has had cataracts removed, they know what I'm talking about. It is absolutely darkness. And that's what a blind person has. And that's pitiable, really pitiable. Now, we go on, and here's our text. We're speaking about John the Baptist. In verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John was an extraordinary man. They got me a stool up here. I'm going to sit down. Thank you, brother. Think about John the Baptist. I said he was an extraordinary man. Well, Let's look at it. His mother, Elizabeth, was an elderly woman, past the time of childbearing. Zacharias, his father, is an old man, older than me. And some people think I'm as old as dirt, but Zacharias was in the a priest, and he was in the temple performing his priestly duties. He was burning incense, and here comes Gabriel, the angel of God, and he says, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. Zacharias says, how can this be? My wife's an old woman and I'm an old man. How can this be? And Gabriel don't fool around with him. He says, you don't believe me? I'm Gabriel and I'm from God Almighty, and I was sent to give you this witness, and you don't believe me? You're not going to be able to talk until John is born. And we know for 9 months, Zacharias couldn't say anything. Now, after John was born, 8 days later, they were going to circumcise him, and they were going to name him Zacharias after his daddy. John's, he can't talk, and so they bring him a slate so he can write. And he says his name is John. That's what Gabriel told him, and that's what Elizabeth was trying to name him. And all the friends said, no, we're going to name him Zacharias after his daddy. John said his name is Zacharias on that slate, and he opened his mouth and praised God. He was mute for at least 9 months. And then he starts praising Almighty God. And this is a fundamental truth, a very basic truth. Zacharias had been told that John would be a Nazarite. He wouldn't drink any wine. He wouldn't partake of anything that was unclean. And he would be devoted unto the Lord. And he was going to be the Lord's forerunner. He was going to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very reason for his existence. When Zacharias saw God's hand in this, his praise to the Father is very great. If we turn over to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, I want you to get just a little of this. He's already been told he's not going to be able to speak. But in verses 59 following, we read, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he should be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called, and he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote on it, his name is John. So they all marveled. And immediately Zacharias' mouth was open, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, and he praised God. Fear came on all of them. But God's purpose had been accomplished. Now, Let's go back before John was born now. Mary has had Gabriel come to her and tell her she's going to have the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary don't doubt him. She just says, how can it happen? I'm not married to a man. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that thing that will be born of you, that holy thing that will be born, will be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mary said, so be it. Let it happen to me as you've said. Let it happen to me as you have said. Well, now Mary is told that Elizabeth, her cousin, is pregnant with John. And so she takes off and she goes to the hill country and she gets to Zechariah's house, and there is Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant. Mary walks in, and Elizabeth says, why should the mother of my Lord come to visit me? She was under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Why should the mother of my Lord come to visit such as me? And the babe, John, actually jumped in the womb of Elizabeth, and she told Mary that the babe, when she entered the house, the babe leaped for joy. So we've got a knowledge there, and it comes out a little bit later on. All right, John's finally born. He spends quite a bit of his time in seclusion in the wilderness. When he was grown up, he appeared to the people in camel's hair clothing. Now, back in those times, they may still do it. I don't know. They wove the hair of the camel into garments, cloth. They made tents out of it. And they also had strips of it. And I vision that John had this piece of camel skin, camel's hair. He probably had it wrapped around him. It probably extended to about his knees. He had places for his arms to go out of it. And around his waist, he had a leather belt. It was obvious that he was somebody else. He wasn't dressed like the rest of them. But what was his food? And this gets a lot of people off. Brother Clyde said grasshoppers. In a sense, it is a form of a grasshopper, but I read where one head is different from the other, and the locust is just a little different. But they didn't just take the locust and pop it in their mouth and chew it up and swallow it. No. The locust was prepared by being slightly roasted or left out in the sun to dry. They salted them. And the head, the wings, the legs, and the intestines were removed, and only the fleshly portion of the locust was eaten. And back in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 22, if you want to check on me, the Lord said through Moses, the locust is clean and may be eaten. Now, what else did John have? He had wild honey. That's some diet, isn't it? Locusts and wild honey. And he's dressed like nobody else. And he comes on the scene. It's believed that John's ministry began in year 29. And it was a sabbatical year. It was a year in which the people were free from their labor and they could more easily attend to his preaching. Well, being the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ and a preacher of the doctrines of grace. Yeah, they had the doctrines of grace back then. He had a ministry to preach Christ and to baptize. And his ministry was a blessing to very many. I want you to look here in the Gospel of John, the 15th verse. John bore witness of him, of Jesus Christ. And he cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" John's 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. Body, that's all, because the Lord Jesus Christ existed as long as God the Father existed. And here we're getting into a matter of faith. And I believe in one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, without beginning and without end. And don't ask me to explain that. I believe it. Co-equal and co-eternal. And I don't bother with it. I believe it. And that settles it for me. All right. John's witness was that Christ must become greater and I must become less. He was not a proud, haughty, high-minded individual or anything of the sort. Think of it. I got this out of James Montgomery Boyce. And he said, if John the Baptist had not lived in that time period and the preparations of Christ's coming had not been his ministry, we would look at him with the highest praise, such as we look at back on Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Amos, or any of the great Old Testament figures. Christ said of John, among those born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we have Mark giving us exactly what John did. Verse 1, chapter 1, Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" That is the ministry of John. And here we find also that all of Jerusalem went out to hear John and were baptized in the River Jordan. They were baptized for the remission of sins. They confessed their sins and they were baptized. John had a ministry. John had a ministry. Now, in verse 7 here in the Gospel of John, first chapter, our text, it says that this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was a forerunner of Christ. He bore witness of him. John's gospel gives that witness. But look how he was foretold of old. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, and this was 400 years later, there was nothing from God until we start having the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the scene. But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now, I'm not going to expound on that verse of scripture because I don't know all of it and I've read it, but I do know this much. There's a little bit of sarcasm in there from the Lord to the Israelites. The one whom you seek. They weren't seeking him. When he came on the scene, they didn't have anything to do with him. You know why? Because he came as a poor man. He wasn't dressed in king's robes. And all the Jews had been taught from their youth up in New Testament times that Messiah is coming. Messiah and Lord are the same thing. It's Lord. He's despotic, and he's in authority. He has all the rule, all the control. And John is telling us, "I was sent here as a witness of him. He must increase, and I must decrease." John had baptized many people. Many of these turned from their sins. You know, the Levites and the scribes got real interested in what's going on out there at the Jordan River. So they sent to find out, and they started questioning John, and they asked him why he was doing this. He said, "Because I was sent to. I was sent here to do that." He said, "Well, are you the prophet? Are you the one that was to come?" He said, "No, I'm a voice. I'm a voice. You can't see a voice. You can hear it, but you can't see it." And then we find here that Christ was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. And you think of that. Every person coming into this world gets light and life through Christ. Now, this nation is guilty, just like the people of old were. They had their god Moloch. They would heat him up with fire inside and get him hot, and then they'd put their children on his arms, and the children would die, and they beat the drums to drown out the sound of the babes crying. Well, we've got more modern. We kill them in the womb. And I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, in God's time, this nation is going to be judged for the murder of unborn children. It's coming, and when it comes, Christians should understand that this is from God, and it's because we're guilty. Now, when Israel finally wore out the Lord's patience, he put them in bondage for 70 years. I don't know what the Lord will do with us, But I'll tell you this much, judgment will come. God is not slack. He will judge. He will judge. And John, remember, his purpose was that he had witnessed of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all through him might believe. That's why he baptized. That's why he told the people. And he wasn't no coward either. He was very brave. Although he was the last of the Old Testament prophets, he was the last representative of the old order. You think about that. Now, we have religions today, and I've been cautioned on ever calling up the names of religions. Well, I'll tell you this much. They have their priesthood. They dressed in their garments. They got their beautiful head and all that stuff. And they got a fellow that's in charge of them, and he thinks he's God's vicar. He ain't. Amen. He ain't. The Lord Jesus Christ is the spokesman of God, and it's all right here that we have to know. And that's the end of it. That's sufficient. Now, John knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was Messiah, and he declared it. One place we read in the scriptures, he's telling his disciples, John's disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he's got John and Andrew there, and they take off after Christ. I want to know where he's going, where he's staying, so forth. So John preached Christ, at the baptism of the Lord. John personally spoke to him. Look at Matthew chapter 3. I know some of these scriptures are old, but it doesn't hurt to read them again and again and again. In verse 13 of chapter 3, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." And John, he had to know him. He tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So John has borne witness of the light. That evangelical repentance toward God was needed, and the legal Mosaic and Jewish dispensations were ended. When Christ hung on the tree, on the cross, one of the last things he said is, "It is finished." And the veil in the temple, you might think the veil was just a little flimsy thing. When they cleaned that veil, it took 200 men to take it down, to get it washed, and put it back up. And the word of Christ ripped that veil right down the center. And you know why? The old dispensation's over. We have free access into the Holy of Holies through prayer to God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ain't no need in having a priesthood today. You and I are priests. Let me correct myself. We're a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. And we go directly to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, John performed his mission and he accomplished his work. I know what it's like to perform your mission and get your work accomplished. It's other things that bothered me, but I won't get into that. But I did serve in Vietnam on two different tours, and I had a mission to do, and it was very satisfying to get that mission accomplished. But John was very humble. The Lord has said that the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. And John did that. He spoke of himself as a voice crying in the wilderness. And I've already said, you can't see a voice, but you can hear it. His only concern was that Jesus Christ be magnified. Look here in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and look at verse 29. This, I've told you about this. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. Behold, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who's preferred before me because he was before me. So we have here John addressing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's baptized him. He knows him. And he says he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I want to give you another point of John. And this is something that you and I need to remember. John was not fearful. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. John wasn't fearful. In verse 1, we read, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard report about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work at him. For Herod had laid hold of John's and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Now, I checked a little bit of history. Herod met Herodias in Rome. She's the wife of Herod's brother. But they fell in love. Maybe the word should be lust. But anyway, she became Herod's wife. Now she had a daughter, Salome, who was Philip's daughter, and she came with her. And John comes along and he says, it's not right for you to have Herodias as your wife. She's Philip's wife. And I found out also Philip was a little guilty, because she was the niece of both of them, Philip and Herod. Now, Herod is living in adultery with his brother's wife. And John told him, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. And time goes on, and Herod's birthday comes up, and gonna have a great big shindig. And that's what it was. It was a great big shindig. Now the scripture is nice here. But they had a drunken get together with officers of Herod's army. And the scripture says that Salome, well, she doesn't call her by name, but Philip's daughter danced before them. Well, that's a mistranslation. She danced amongst them. And I'm not going to go any further than that. I'll let your imagination wander on that. But they were drinking. They were having a brawl. And Herod liked it so well. Oh, he says to Salome, I'll give you half of my kingdom. What do you want? John's in prison because he told Herod it wasn't right for him to have Philip's wife. Salome don't know what to tell him she wants, so she goes and asks her mother, Herodias. She says, Mother, what I want? She said, you go back and tell Herod you want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. She told that to Herod. And Herod sent and had his head chopped off, and they brought it to her. Now this is the end of John the Baptist here. But I believe that when that head fell off and into the basket, as they normally did when they chopped the head off, immediately John heard these words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope you will be able to hear those words. I look forward to hearing them. I really look forward to hearing them. Y'all know my wife is gone. I'm just half of a man. But they don't marry or are given in marriage in heaven. They're like the angels of God. And like I said at her funeral, we're going to be good friends. Good friends. Because we're going to be there and we're going to be like the angels and we're going to love everyone. And there'll be no sorrow, no sadness. All the tears will be wiped away. And we'll see Christ and love him. Now, our Lord spoke highly of John. I planned on giving this earlier, but in chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew, while John was in prison, he became curious. And in verse 2, we read, When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, that's Christ, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, You go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So that's the Lord's comments to John. John was lonely there in prison. I have some idea of what loneliness is. And he had to be charged again by the Lord. Now, I want to make application of this. John bore witness of the light. This is very important because there are many Christians that feel they're bearing witness simply because they are living the Christian faith or refusing to do certain things and doing other things. They live it, the Christian life as they see it at home, on the job, and if they're young enough, in school. And this is not witnessing. John the Baptist was a witness. To witness, one speaks to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. John bore witness of the light that all men might believe. Are you a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our responsibility. That's our duty. That's our mission. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we've tried to set forth thy servant, John the Baptist. He was your faithful servant. He served you well. He made the highways straight, the hills level before you came on the scene. And Israel was ready for you when you came. We thank you for the truth of thy word, where we learn of all these things. We ask now that you would forgive any error that was set forth here and now. We pray that the word, the truth, will be blessed to the lives of thy people. And thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, will be exalted. We ask it all in his name, for his glory. Amen.